All right, good evening, everyone. Good to see you tonight. Welcome back for the fourth and final week of this series. So tonight we'll be looking at letting God meet my needs. So we'll take a look at how we do that based upon Psalm 23. So let's turn to the Lord first in prayer as we begin this evening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Lord, we welcome your presence here tonight. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and to anoint our hearts, anoint our minds, make them fertile to receive the word of God into our hearts to bear forth good fruit tonight, Lord. We pray that our hearts would be hearts of that would produce the kind of fruit of 30, 60, and 100-fold. As we come before you, Lord, we have many needs, many anxieties, worries come into our life. But Lord, we know that you have a plan to deal with that, a plan to be able to minister to us, a plan to be able to help us rely upon the promises of your word to us. So tonight, Lord, help us to really lay hold of your wisdom for how you meet our needs as a people, revealing the graciousness and the awesomeness of who you are. And we pray all this through Christ, our Lord, and Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. So you should have like a copy of the notes. Actually, it's going to be kind of fill in the blank, so to speak. So there's some on this table here. There's some on the middle table, if you need some. Some on the back table. There's some all around. Okay. So let's turn to Psalm 23 in the Bibles. This is a psalm we've been looking at all these past 4 weeks. Again, it's a psalm we hear a lot at funerals, which is wonderful, very comforting psalm. But it's really a psalm for the living. It's a psalm that reveals the nature and the characteristics of who God is. So Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so Psalm 23 reveals, as we've been saying the last couple of weeks, the characteristics of who God is. It reveals the nature of his character. And as we can see, it's a nature and a character that is good, filled with goodness towards his people. So tonight we'll be looking at, in a very specific way, how he wants to meet our needs based upon his character, based upon his graciousness. It's not based upon how good you are or how good I am or whether we're having a good day or a bad day, whether our batting average is good or not good, we're in a slump or something like that, it doesn't matter. It's based upon his character. It's based upon his nature. It's based upon who he is in himself. And then us being able to, in faith, lay hold of that, in trust, lay hold of that. So we'll talk about that tonight. So let's take a look at three key passages of Scripture that we'll be referring to tonight. And we'll be using them after the small group discussion time as well. And these three key passages, you could put them on note cards and carry them with you. So when you come to red lights or you're a fast food restaurant and it's not moving, okay, you can pull out that note card and you can, instead of getting angry, okay, or impatient, you can just meditate on this passage of Scripture. And this will be wonderful for you because it will be a platform by which the Lord will use it to be able to meet the needs in your life. So let's take a look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. It's from Psalm 23. And again, we'll come back to some of these in just a minute. God will supply all you'll ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. And then the third is don't worry about anything and instead pray about everything. So we'll come back to that too. We'll look at those three passages a little bit more in detail tonight as we look at finding out how God meets our needs. So let's take a look at the first one. The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. And just simply, it means that the Lord is lacking nothing means that he's my security for every area of my life. You know, circumstances, jobs, people, even ourselves. We let ourselves down They all, those other things I mentioned, let us down. But the Lord becomes the security for us in every area of our need. That's what he's saying. I am your shepherd. You will lack nothing. It's the antidote to a lot of the stresses we face in life. It's the perfect picture of the goodness of God for us. He's saying, I am the source of all that you have need of. Philippians 4:19, God will supply all you'll ever need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. First thing to look at is out of his glorious resources. That means God's resources are unlimited. Our resources are limited, right? The bank's resources are limited. The federal government's resources are limited. But God's resources are unlimited. And the circle in Christ Jesus, because God now deals with us, and his goodness is based upon the merits of Christ for us. It's what Jesus did for us at the cross. It's the merits of the perfect Son of God who walked the earth in perfect obedience to the Father, and that led him to the cross in humility and surrender to the, in love to the Father, and the Father raised him up. God deals with us now and deals with the whole human race based on the merits of Christ. So when you're having a bad day, you know, will God still meet your needs? Yes, because it's based on the merits of Christ. It's not based on your merits or mine, you know. So whether you're having a good day or a bad day, God deals with us on the basis of Christ and what he's done for us. And the third passage, Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. So if you're not praying, chances are you're worrying, okay? And chances are you could be panicking after that. So we either worry or we worship. That's what this passage is pointing out to. Pray about everything. And we'll be looking at how we do some of that tonight. Praying about everything in our life, small or big. All right, so let's take a look at the outline here. Why does God tell me not to worry? And let's turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is a portion of it, anyway. In Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew's 5, chapters 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus's kind of like constitution for his disciples. So in other words, it's how to live as a disciple. And he covers a whole lot of territory in three chapters in Matthew's gospel, but it's basically summarized in this. It's how we are to live as a disciple of Jesus. And one of the things he tackles is this whole idea of anxiety and worry. And he wants to teach his disciples how to deal with that. So let's take a look at verse 25, chapter 6. Therefore, I tell you not to be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. For I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Okay, so the people who learned to live this were the saints. They really learned to live this, and therefore, they were free in their hearts. It wasn't an overnight thing for them. It wasn't, you know, a four-week seminar that got them to do this. This is something they put into practice throughout their life as they grew in relationship to the Father, grew in love with him, and they learned to trust him, and they learned to deal with anxiety in their life. and they learned to cultivate a childlike kind of faith that saw them through many of the challenges they face. So let's take a look at your outlines here as we look at Matthew 6. The first thing, why does God tell me not to worry? First thing, worry is unreasonable. It's unreasonable. We tend to worry about things that in 5 years, we can't remember what we worried about. I often say we have the greatest imaginations. We write the movie scripts of whatever ending we can possibly think of through anxiety and through worry, right? It's a shame we can't get it on paper. We might make some money for ourselves, our imaginations, St. Thomas Aquinas said, our imagination is a gift of the Lord. It can be used for unholy things, like anxiousness and worry, or it can be used for holy things, too. He said, but it's a powerful faculty the Lord has given us. And so, but worry is unreasonable for us. It basically, Jesus is saying, here's, take a look, verse 25, do not worry about anything, whether you what you'll eat or drink, and don't worry about your body or what you'll wear. Your life is far more important than clothes. In other words, what you're worrying about today, in most circumstances, tomorrow, next year at this time, you might not even remember what you were worrying about. So what is worry? Worry is dwelling on anxiety or unease. It's allowing our mind to dwell on difficulties or troubles. And I think that the key thing is here, we dwell on difficulties or troubles. So the first thing that Jesus wants us to know is worry is unreasonable. In other words, it's not going to help us resolve whatever we're facing in our life. Second thing about worry is it's unnatural. This is number two. It's unnatural. Do you know ants don't worry? They don't, though. The birds of the air don't worry. Rocks don't worry. Horses don't worry. Do you know that? They don't worry either. We're the only portion of God's creation that worries. We're the only one that does. And we were the ones that were created in his image and likeness. Go figure, right? So look at the birds of the air, Jesus says, verse 26. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So Jesus puts the emphasis on who we are to our Father in heaven. First of all, he says, our Father in heaven. And in all the best sense of the word Father there, Jesus is revealing his Father as a gracious God. Go back to Psalm 23 that we've been looking at our last couple of weeks. That's the nature of what our Father in heaven's like, Psalm 23. He's a shepherd, and he's going to lead us in right ways. He's going to anoint us and going to bring blessing into our life and favor into our life. So Jesus is saying is, look at your Father in heaven, and then see yourself as more valuable than the birds of the air or the ants or the horses or the rocks or any other created thing. So Jesus puts the emphasis upon the valuableness of who we are to our Father in heaven and to the nature of our Father in heaven, the graciousness of our Father as revealed particularly through Psalm 23. So it's unnatural for us to worry. We weren't wired to worry. Those of you who have raised children, particularly when your children were young, and I imagine as they're older too, particularly when they were dependent on you, and they got anxious. I think as parents, you want to calm them down and assure them, bring security into their hearts, and help them to know that you're there to take care of them. Well, that's what your Heavenly Father wants to do for us as well. He wants to assure us, His sons and daughters, His children, that He's there as the Good Shepherd, as the Psalm 23 revelation of the character of God to care for us. What else do you see Jesus say? Verse 28 and 29, he says, and why worry about your clothes? Look at the field lilies. They don't worry about theirs. King Solomon, all his glory, was not clothed as beautiful as they. So in other words, Jesus is using agrarian type nature analogies here to say that as much as the Father cares for the birds of the air, and they're well taken care of, they don't worry. You're much more valuable than they. As much as the fields show forth the beauty of creation that God fashioned, Solomon didn't worry about where, in all his glory, where his next clothing would come from, But how much more value you are to the Father in heaven. Now, we could also take one step further with that and say our value is measured by the blood of Christ shed on the cross for us. That's the value of your worth to the Father. And that's why I mentioned how the Father deals with us on the basis of the merits of Christ, because at the cross we see the worth and the value of who you and I are to the Father. He was willing to commit everything he had, the best of he had in his Son, for us. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, if God didn't even spare his own Son, will he not give us all other things besides? So if you're worried and anxious about areas of your life, just look at a cross, look at a crucifix, right? And there you see the value that the Father places upon your life as Jesus and the Father as a team agreed that it was worth everything to go to the cross for you. It was worth everything. Okay, number three on your outline here. What about why does God tell us not to worry? Because it's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. It's just not practical. Can we're Americans, we believe in the practicality of things, right? Worry is not helpful. It's not practical. Worry doesn't make you wiser. It doesn't make you smarter. It doesn't make you stronger. It can't change anything. It can't change the past, can't change the present, certainly won't be able to handle the future. What does Jesus say? Matthew 6, verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So in other words, worry is not practical. It can't make you better in dealing with whatever you have to deal with. It can't help you deal with what you're dealing with. It certainly isn't going to make you smarter or wiser. If anything, Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, worry weighs us down. Another way of saying weighs us down is depressed, makes us depressed. Your stomach knows what's going on, though, you know? Because when you worry, you know, your stomach figures out what's happening, you know? You've heard the old saying, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you, you know? So, you've heard the expression, people have used, I'm worried sick. There's some really, they're actually saying more there than perhaps they realize that they actually can make themselves sick by worrying. You know, and usually our blood pressure and usually our stomachs let us know right off the bat how we're dealing with worry in our life. So it's unhelpful. It doesn't help you physically, it doesn't help you psychologically, it doesn't help you in terms of dealing with the circumstances you face. So Jesus is saying it's not helpful at all. Number four is, why does God tell us not to worry? It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Matthew 6, verse 30, he says, if God cares so wonderfully, even for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? Father, and we saw this, see this in Psalm 23, it's what we've seen over the last couple weeks. The Father wants to care for us, leads us, feeds us, teach us, guide us, protect us. Just go through Psalm 23 again. You know, that's what the Father wants to do for us. So Jesus is saying that worrying is unnecessary for our life because we have a Father who wants to do all these other things for us. So to understand the nature of the Father, to understand his goodness to us, then is to diminish worry in our life. The more we put an emphasis on the nature and character of God for us and the promises he makes to us, and we'll take a look at some of that in a minute, then it's the antidote to worrying in our life. Getting over worry won't be because we develop some kind of psychological techniques that shift our thinking and in worrisome or anxious situations. Getting over worry is done by really reflecting upon and laying hold in faith and trust on the promises of God and the character of God on our behalf. That's what will help us get over the worry temptation in our life. Okay, so let's turn over wherever you are in your outlines here. How do I trust Jesus to meet my needs? Number one is make him Lord over the areas that you worry about. make him Lord. Now, the word Lord here is a very interesting term. We don't use that language today in our culture. In the ancient world, it was a very powerful word, actually. Lord meant the person that was over top of everything. There was no rival to whoever this person was that was called Lord. The Roman Empire called Caesar Lord. They saw him as divine. So they meant nothing can rival the Roman Empire. Don't even try. Don't even think about it. Then Christians came along and said, well, we want to respect the government, everything, but Jesus is Lord. So it's not Caesar any longer, it's Jesus. So no one can rival Jesus and who he is and what he's done and his teaching. So nobody can rival him. And of course, that caused some conflict between the Romans and the Christians, and that's where we had some of the persecutions. When we make Jesus Lord over the area of our life, we're saying, whatever I'm worried about can't rival Jesus. That's not possible to do. It's not possible that that person I'm worried about, situation I'm concerned about, whether it be the past, present, or future, can rival Jesus. In the early church, they had a phrase called Christus Victor, which meant the victorious Christ. Victorious what? How? He conquered sin and death and the evil one by his rising from the dead. It was a cry of not only joy, but it was a cry of victory. It was a battle cry of the early Christians that no one can rival Jesus. He was raised from the dead. He conquered death. And, you know, so there's nothing more powerful than death. Jesus says it this way, John chapter 10. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. I lay down my life for my sheep. So to make him Lord over the areas that we're struggling with, particularly with anxiety and worry, is to say, I'm declaring Jesus as Lord over this area of my life and that area of my life that I'm worried about, that thing I'm worried about, that situation I'm worried about, can't rival Jesus because he is Lord. You know. Psalm 28 expresses a prayer of our hearts, says, come, save us and bless us, Lord. Be our shepherd and always carry us in your arms. That's the heart of Jesus as Lord. And Jesus as Lord is a Easter battle cry, you might say, of the Christian. So it's really comes out of Easter. Jesus died and rose and is victorious. So second thing is, number two, give him first place in every area of my life. Give him first place. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given. He says, giving him first place is like saying, I'm worried about this situation, Lord, but I'm giving you first place in my heart and my mind and over this situation I'm facing, knowing that you and your power and wisdom will be able to work it out. Paul said in Romans 8, that verse 28, God fits everything into a pattern for our good to those that love him and are called according to his plan. So he can only do that if we turn to him and say, Jesus, I'm giving you first place in this area of my life that I'm worried about. Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 32. He says, your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need. And he will give you what you need if you give him first place in your life and lives as he wants you to. So this is Jesus is saying, look, your Father knows what you have need of. He wants to take care of that, but you and I have to give him first place. He waits for that from us. And then he wants us to live as he wants us to in that situation. So giving him first place means that in your house, for example, that Jesus doesn't just have first place in the garage, okay, or in the living room, or Jesus gets first place in every room in your house, okay? So just think of your own heart and all those different compartments to whatever, all the different parts of your heart and all the things that you're facing in your life. Give him first place in each of those areas. Number three. Give him your worries in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Prayer. Prayer is one of the most underutilized resources that we have. Jesus said it's powerful enough to move mountains. which meant in the scripture, it means problems, okay? So it's pretty powerful, you know. Prayer is one of our weapons the Lord gives us to deal with anxiety and worry in our life. It's a key way the Lord is able to gain access to our hearts when we're dealing with anxiety and worry. It's a key way that we're able then to see the power of God be released in the situations that we're facing, whether it be for somebody else that we're concerned about or the different areas that we have worry about in our life. From an old Protestant hymn, it said this, it goes like this, have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will with all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not worry. Everything to God in prayer. Everything. Everything. Small things, big things. Little things. Huge things. G. Campbell Morgan, who was a famous preacher in the last part of the 19th century, actually, a lady came to him one day and said, "I only take the big things to God," meaning in prayer. I don't take the little things to God. And of course, G. Campbell Morgan didn't miss a beat with that, as he's accustomed to doing. And he said, he looked at her and said, "Lady, anything you take to God is little." So that's precisely the point in prayer, is no matter how big it is to us, it's not big to him, right? No matter how large it is to us, and it certainly is, legitimately is to us, it's not to him. We tend to think that God succumbs to the same anxieties that we do. Okay, so if it's a really huge problem, we figure God's coming unglued, you know. But that's not the case at all, you know. And it's to him, it's a small thing. So we can bring everything to God, because anything that you bring to him is little to him, even if it's big to you. So prayer is a powerful resource to use. Jesus says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God about all your needs and thank him for all he's done for you. If you do these things, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand." Number four, trust him one day at a time. Matthew 6, verse 34, Jesus says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have all its worries, its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Trust him one day at a time. That doesn't mean we don't plan. Planning actually is good. Planning, the scriptures and Proverbs, for example, commend us to plan. But we can plan without becoming worried about the future. Okay, so we can plan without becoming anxious about the future. And I think that's what the concern is here. It's not that we don't plan, it's that we do plan, but we do in a spirit of faith, a spirit of confidence and trust in the one who is our Father, our God, who's revealed, like through Psalm 23, what his character is. So Jesus is telling us that to have an anxiousness about tomorrow, he says, is not going to be helpful for us. It's going to create trouble for us. Matthew 6, verse 34, he says, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come when the time comes." There's a story. I may have shared this story. It's kind of a cute little story. It's about a little boy that his mother was sending him on a train to go visit some relatives. And a little boy was at the door. They were leaving, and he was really anxious. You know, he was basically going alone, and he said, kept on tugging on his mom. He said, "Where's my ticket?" And the mother said, "Well, don't worry about it. You know, you'll get it." And so they're in the car driving, and the little boy is a little anxious, and he's saying, "Mom, where's my ticket?" She said, "Don't worry about it. You know, it'll be there for you." So they come to the train station, they check in, they walk down the steps. As they're walking down the steps, the little boy is tugging away at the mother's coat and says, "Where's my train ticket? I really need it." And she says, "Don't worry, it'll be here." You know, and so they're staying at the platform, and the train comes up, and then the little boy looks at the mother and says, "I need my ticket." And she says, "Don't worry." You know. So the train stops. Of course, the conductor says, "All aboard," and the mother takes out the ticket and gives the little boy the ticket. So the point of the story was, God is, he's seldom early, he's never late, but he's always on time. He's always on time. So Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow, because God will be on time for us in the circumstances that we're facing in our life, or the concerns we have for other people in our life. So, trusting Jesus to meet our needs then involves making him Lord, giving him first place, taking all our worries to him in prayer. Every worry, every concern, nothing's too big for him. You know, everything is little to him because of who he is. And trust him one day at a time. So worry doesn't take away tomorrow's problems, but it does take away today's peace. So it's really important that we learn not to worry, but as Psalm 23 teaches us, to cultivate a trust and a confidence in the character of who the Lord is for us as our Father, and everything he's done for us through his Son, Jesus. Yeah. So let's pray before you go into discussion. So Lord, we come into your presence and thank you, Lord, for your word that you show us and teach us that nothing is too big for you. Nothing is over your reach. Nothing is beyond the notice of your heart towards us. Nothing escapes your attention. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too difficult for you. So Lord, help us tonight with our different areas of anxieties and worries that we're facing. Help us, Lord, to see in you a God who is able to deal with our circumstances, who is able to be there for us in a way that makes your grace sufficient for whatever need that we have in our life. Help us to see in a new way, a fresh way tonight, Lord, that through the power of prayer, that you are able to begin to work in a mighty way in the circumstances and the situations of our life. Help us to see that your promises that you make to us, that you are a shepherd and will lack nothing, that you'll supply for our needs through your Son Jesus out of the glorious resources that are in him. Help us, Lord, to see that in your promises, as we lay hold of them, that you are able to work out your purposes and plan in our life in a way that will have goodness and kindness follow us all the days of our life. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, so you can go take some time for discussion, and there's some reflection questions that may help you if you need them. We'll take about 20 minutes or so to do that. Okay.